You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday, the Game 7 of the World Series with Houston and Washington, the Nationals. Houston is up 1-0 in the bottom of the third. I'm not going to say who I'm pulling for. Go Astros. Go Astros. We'll see what happens here. Obviously, it's been a good series. Pretty good, tilted on great. Last night game was a little crazy with the interference call. You knew right away if you played the game, you know that that was probably going to be the call because that's not supposed to happen. But on any other game, that probably was not going to be called except that it was last night's World Series, so you kind of knew it was going to be called and repeated and shown and blah, 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 talked about. How you doing there, senor? I haven't seen you in a while.
Who, me?
Yes, you. I was going to call you a different name today, but you're good, Tom.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll call you Steve.
So I haven't seen you since
last Friday.
Since the debacle in Stanford.
Oh.
Should I remind you? You don't need reminding.
Remind any Wildcat fan, you know, or anybody that's interested in college football, go right ahead.
Yes, yes. The good news is some of them will be able. No, actually, that's not good news because they're not going to be paid by the time they're getting out of college, because it's going to affect the juniors and seniors of this year of high school, not college. How'd you like that?
Are you talking about the
payment,
name and image and likeness business that's happening?
Yes.
Did the NCAA get forced into it because California has allowed their athletes to?
Very likely. Got to make the playing field equal. We'll see what it does if it does, in fact, make it equal. It's not going to.
What, a lot of athletes might have chosen California schools just because they could be making money off of their t-shirts and stuff that they sell.
True, but they're doing it for all different levels, too. All different levels of college, which, you know, 1A, AA, whatever it is, AAA. My son played at
AA. Oh, now you're talking about the NCAA.
Yes. Yes, and you know, you don't have to be a football player, basketball player. You could be a swimmer. You could be a women's basketball player.
That's my interpretation. It affects all college athletes. Yeah,
everybody. And guess what? I'm going to be majoring. If I were 16, 17, 18, you know what I'm majoring in when I get to college?
How to make myself look better.
Is that called marketing?
Marketing.
Is that marketing?
Yes.
Business and marketing? How to tweet the heck out of my image?
Go into a professional photographer and get a portfolio made up.
How you doing?
Smith. Take to Nike and Adidas and
how you doing, Joe
Rawlings.
Smith. I play for
Wilson.
I play for X College. How you doing, Mr. Adidas? yes, that's
right. Here's how I would look in your shoes.
These
are my feet. You picture your shoes on my feet.
Yes, that envelope is empty. Hint, hint. Could pay some cash in that, baby. So we'll see how it goes. It might be changed. Who knows? I mean, people are changing with the times. Everyone talks about how we're changing with the times, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't know if you agree or not.
That you think?
That, thank you, Steve. I appreciate the good thoughts from you.
There was a segue in there. I had to get that in.
But this is the kind of a thing that's going to have to be worked out over time because nobody, I mean, the NCAA hasn't given any guidelines. They're just telling universities,
very cursive.
Get ready.
Yes.
Start
no question.
Start thinking about it.
The question, you know, that the now we know that the schools are not going to pay for this. It's all going to be merchandise, stuff like that, marketing. Schools don't have the money to pay.
And how
this.
Will that affect the scholarships that they give out?
Probably won't. Probably won't because it's going to be need or talent or whatever, but that's just, if Tom is better than me and then he can market the heck out of himself, guess what? More power to Tom.
And get a scholarship?
More power to Tom and get a scholarship, yes. The wealth get wealthier. The wealthy will get wealthier. The thing about it is, and I've always said this, but the way they phrased it is going to be difficult for women or those. If you're an offensive lineman and I'm the running back that gets 2,000 yards in a game, in a season, guess how that's happening? By your performance, too. because you're doing very well help opening holes for me. What do you get out of this? Not a nickel.
Well, if you help the team win.
Well, you get that. Which, of course, that's what it should be, right? It should be winning.
That's what we should be trying to do is so this help the team.
Exactly. So this shouldn't even be a factor, but it's going to be a factor. A lot of jealousy is going to probably come up from this. A lot of malcontent or envy or whatever word you want to use in-house or on the team. So we'll see how it goes because you can't mess with egos, and I'm sure this is going to affect egos.
Chris wants to weigh in.
Please do. Chris, thanks for calling.
Hey, great show.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I've been following this since I first heard of it, and it's been being tossed around for years, but I never really thought it would come to fruition.
Let me ask you something real quick. What do you do for a living, Chris?
I am a window washer.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you're an attorney, you're going to kill me with this, but go ahead.
No, I'm not an attorney. I see attorneys, but no, I'm not. My brother's an attorney.
Go ahead.
But I was just curious, do they have any structure to this yet? Like, is it going to be a stipend? Are they going to get paid for performance?
No, that's what they had been talking about.
Revenue?
No, that's what they had been talking about before all this. And this is going to be, if Chris is good at what he does, if he's a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or whatever, you know, those positions that get the most notice, that you're going to have a better time at, or easier time at making money than I will if I'm an offensive lineman or I'm a punter or whatever. Because, guess what? People are going to want your jersey more than they're going to want mine. So guess who's they're going to buy? They're going to buy yours, not mine. And you'll reap the benefits of that.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. I live in Arizona, but I'm from West Virginia, and I'm a West Virginia Mountaineer fan.
Is this Rich Rod? You're not Rich Rod, are you?
No, Rich Rod, he screwed us. No, I laughed when you got him, because I've been out here since 2001.
That's funny. Well, you knew better.
He never ends well. He never ends.
You're right. You knew better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just curious. For instance, isn't a lot of the actual revenue they're generating is from the television contracts and such, correct?
Yes.
And that's big money.
It is, but it's not. SEC is big money. Pac-12, Pac-12 is so money.
Well, that's my point. Like, say, Big 12, my Mountaineers, they're in Big 12.
Yes.
And then you got Pac-12. I mean, some are just more readily available to be viewed as far, and you also have the time zone.
Yes.
But I just don't see how they're going to structure it as far as. I think it's going to have something to do with how often you're on television and how often you win bowl games.
No, it's going to be. There's a lot to be ironed out here, and they have 3 or 4 years to get that done.
Do you think, Steve, that the NCAA is sort of letting California take the lead on this, and whatever California comes up with, they might take a look at?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they need to take charge. Don't you think that the hierarchy of NCAA should be doing the lead on this? But yes.
If they want to maintain their position as the arbiter, spokesperson, rulemaking body for college sports, they better do something.
Well, the tail's wagging the dog right now.
Right now. I think California is the tail.
And we'll see what happens. Chris, anything else on this? Because I agree with you.
I was wondering. Now, are they going to be able to pick up agents?
No. I don't think that's going to be the case. They're going to have to do it in-house, family, themselves. No, I don't think.
Wow.
Well, not today. That could change in a couple of years. Things are changing as we speak. So we'll see.
There may be marketing opportunities here. There may be opportunities for people who provide T-shirts and things like that to say, hey, guys, come see us. We'll get your face on a T-shirt and get you going right now.
Right.
Well, you had brought up merchandise one before, I do believe, sir, one a little earlier in the show, and I was curious because some colleges it's like the NFL. They just outsell. It's not even.
Oh, sure.
They're in a different stratosphere.
Sure.
I never even thought of the gear aspect as far as the revenue from just the gear, the hoodie aspect and such.
Oh, yeah. But it's not. It's money, but it's not enough money. Look at Arizona. And I could be speaking at a turn, but I don't think I am. They don't have a whole lot of money. Just look at what they've gone through the last year or so. A lot of litigation. A lot of paying coaches. Rich Rod, $6 million, I think it was. They had to pay, or they're paying Sumlin now, $10 million on his career salary for the overall length of the salary. So it's not a, and they've been building that crazy. They're not a school with a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. Because they're mortgaged.
Yeah.
They're mortgaged.
As a Mountaineer, I can relate.
Yeah. Well, you know, what brought you to Tucson? Witness protection?
I got out of West Virginia right after my sophomore year in college, and I went to Florida. And I got tired of Florida, and I wanted to go somewhere with similar weather where I could wear shorts a lot. And I have a brother who raised a family in Flagstaff, taught at NAU, and my other brother lived in Tempe. So Arizona's always been available.
Yeah, no, cool. My son went to go play.
I love it out here.
My son went to go play soccer at the Davis and Elkins in Elkins, West Virginia.
Yeah, Elkins is about 90 minutes from where I grew up. It's the next town. It's northwest of where I am in West Virginia.
It was in the country.
Well, Elkins College.
It's in the country.
Well, good for him, and you should go there and visit it. It's a beautiful state.
I heard it.
As a Mountaineer fan, I must tell you, I admire the Cats fan base, and I admire the passion. I admire the dedication to the team. We don't have a rival like you do other than, say, Pitt or Maryland, but the ASU thing is just off the charts.
Right, right. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, and I love it.
Thanks.
So I'll go ahead and free up your time.
Thanks for listening, Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I listen all the time. I'll be calling back in. Just
great.
Remember, go Mountaineers.
Your voice will tell me you're from West Virginia. I get it. Thank you, Chris. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Before we go to break, I got to ask you, in all of this that we've heard about Marcel Yates being dismissed as the defensive coordinator for the Wildcats, I haven't heard anything about any settlement or anything that university is going to have to come up with.
It's a year to year, so he'll get paid and then he's done. I think he goes to January, year to year, $500,000. Not bad. Not bad, huh? I think it'll be okay.
I could live on that.
Yeah, for a week or two. Let's go to break. We got to get a hold of Mohamed Tangera here. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And very, very pleased to have Mohamed Tangera on the phone. Mohamed, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Good to hear your voice, my friend. One of the good guys from Arizona basketball.
Thank you.
What the heck have you been up to? I know you're coaching, you're traveling, you're doing a lot of different things.
I know. I'm just all over the place. As right now, I'm coaching at Chaparral High School down in Scottsdale, and also work, and at the same time travel overseas and trying to take care of family, and still trying to stay in the game and recruiting while I'm overseas, trying to bring talent to the U.S.
I understand. Well, Chaparral High School, are you the head coach or assistant coach? What are you?
No, I'm an assistant coach.
At the high school level, at the junior high, but JV or main team?
And I'm the main team and also coach at the freshman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll do freshman and then help out with the varsity.
So do you have a little loot in you?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a little loot in you?
A little bit. a little bit. I'm trying to get a loot on me. But, you know, he just knows that I have to keep building up. And he's a big time. He's someone who we all look up to and change our life for the best. Now we're just, you know, trying to follow his footstep and trying to teach the young generation what he taught us. So,
right.
I trying to, you know, look up to him and copy some of the things I learned from him while I was playing.
Yes. How did you end up in Phoenix? You could easily end up down here, but how did you end up in Phoenix?
Yeah, when I left UVA Hawaii, and then Hawaii, I started, you know, playing overseas and then come back and living, you know, started coming back to Phoenix and training there. So I just found home, and then also it was best for me at that time when I was training and then playing pickup and work out with a lot of pros.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson don't have that.
You've been gone for about 12 years now, 13 years, I think, from the team. Does it seem like 13, which makes you about 35 years old? How old are you?
Yes. I'm getting up there, 35.
I have T-shirts older than 35 years old.
Really? Yeah, I'm getting up there, you know. So, but still a little young and trying to figure out things and, you know, finding my new activity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, after basketball.
Tell me, I understand you're coaching some kind of very good phenom basketball player.
Yeah, so I got this guy's name, AD. He's a beast. He's a 6'11", 7'5" wingspan, dunk everything. So he's in the U.S. I brought him in the United States, and he's a family member and trying to give him chance to grow and help him to achieve his dream. Like, I would help up to get here and then trying to fulfill my dream. So he's busy. We're working right now, especially he's an international student. We're trying to get him in Chaparral, but the process is taking a little bit. But I think we're going to get there. But if we're not, he's going to end up in a prep school like Hillcrest or somewhere else.
So he'll be playing for Mike Bibby?
Well, if the plan didn't go, I mean, if we can get all his paperwork, he'll be fine. Right now, it look okay, so we just have to see how things gonna. But if he's now, he's a beast. Like I'm not.
You're not lying.
He's got chance.
So you were.
I've been working with him.
Well, one beast. You're one beast, and to the next beast, because when you were coming in, they called you. They called you the Charles Barkley of the time.
Yeah, he's ahead of me a little bit. He's ahead of me. he understands the game and very smart, pick up things really fast and athletic ability. He's long and dunk everything.
So
I've been working.
How old is he?
Go ahead. He's 16.
Sophomore. Okay. A chance to play at this level?
Oh, yeah. That's. He will play in the top level, Division One. That's
he
will play.
And guys, with you, guys like you working out with him, I'm sure he'll get better every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to get, really push him, you know, over top. And, you know, I treat him like senior, like a freshman.
Right.
Someone who's heading to the college. And I said, no, I'm not going to give you. This is your chance, and you know, with the injury, I didn't have a chance. But and I'm gonna make sure that you get your chance to make it. So we've been working super hard, 3 times a week, and running, conditioning, a lot of different stuff. But you know, trying to get him out there.
So tell me again, I might have missed it in your conversation. The nationality?
Yeah, he's from Senegal.
Senegal. Skinny?
Yeah, he's
skinny. Tall, skinny?
Yeah, he's tall, skinny. Very long. 6'11".
So what's his name again?
Adrami.
Adrami?
Dunkin.
Oh, Dunkin?
Yeah, we call him AD.
AD, okay, that's better for me because I can't say words. AD, so that's nice, a nice find for you. That's good.
Right.
So how are you adjusting to coaching? You enjoy it?
I love it. I think the thing about it is about the youth on this level. When you come to freshmen and varsity, you were always trying to develop them and teach them the game and the right way, be mentoring them. You know, when you started seeing the result and, you know, guys moving from freshman to junior, sophomore, JV, and then you see them develop when they come to your program, and, you know, they don't have no clue. But you find a way really to push them, and I love it. It's really cool. It can be stressful sometimes, but you know,
yes,
those things enjoy it, and then
stressful. You'll find stress in everything you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, we're gonna go to a break. Can you stay on for another segment here? We'll talk about your UA career, how much you enjoyed playing for Loot, and then how you had to leave and things like that. Is that okay?
No problem.
Okay,
no problem.
We'll take a break here and then come back and talk to you more about Arizona basketball and your coaching career. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Now on the phone, we have Mohamed Tangera formerly of the U of A basketball team, went to Hawaii and now living in Scottsdale or Phoenix, doing some good things up there, even though you live in Phoenix. How often do you get to come down?
Actually, I haven't been back to Tucson in a while. Yeah, it's just super busy. Work and then basketball is just take a lot. So, but I'm planning. I got a couple of games on my schedule that I'm hoping to come down to Tucson.
Friends. We wanted to put you down here, come for the Lute Olson camp, and we couldn't find you. You're always, you guys are all over the world.
Yeah, I was back home at that time. So I was home and, visiting family, and my daddy was sick also. So just trying to be there and help out. So I spent about a month at home. I went home for a month and 25 days. And trying to connect there and do some work over there. Next year for sure.
Yes, let me ask you. So I want to take you back to your career. So you're, I think, right. Can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm wrong a lot. So you're a kid growing up. You're 16, 17 years old, maybe even 18 at the time. And Lute Olson goes to see you in North Carolina. I think you were in North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, I was at North Carolina. I was at a Christian Academy.
Yeah, so how does that feel? How does that feel when you see that happening?
But it was cool. By that time, I didn't know how big it looked. That's honestly because, I'm just back from Africa. Came from Africa, and then it's just want to play, and then everybody know that he was a big man. So after his visit, I discovered more about him from my coach at that time, and then in the church. When he visited me, after that everything changed. So I gained so much respect from my church, and then the church, the prep school that I was belong to, through the church, and then with the school, the coaches. I'm like, wow, this is not real, but. From there, they told me who's Lute also. I'm like, whoa. And, for him to visit me, and then after his visit, and I gained so much respect and so much attention from the school and pastor. And so that was a good feeling.
I can't remember if he offers you a scholarship right away, but I think once he does, you say yes, right?
No, I didn't. I think I came visit, and then I don't know which one was that. I came visit after that, and then from my visit, I committed, and then I believe junior year I signed it. I believe that.
So where else did you have a chance? Who else was looking at you at the time?
Oh man, it was Louisville, it was Memphis, Miami. Even UMC, I think Duke was looking at Michigan. It was a ton of college at that time was looking at me. But
well, when you got here, you were a fan favorite. Everybody loved Muhammad.
Right. Yeah, Arizona fan, they're incredible. Honestly, they make me feel home, and it was a really good support. For me, and then that was big time. That's what I always call Tucson home.
Let me ask you. I don't think I've ever asked you this. So you got hurt. Your back hurt. I think you did. You suffered some back problems. If that would not have happened, how good would you have been?
Man, I think that was kind of like the setback for my career. And I think if that was not my back, I would probably be in the NBA. Because, at that time, I was athletic. I was a gifted athlete with athletic ability.
Yes.
I can jump and rebound. And then I was really ahead at that time, like the athletic ability I had. So the only thing I was doing is just trying to get a Lute to give me some skill. And then a little bit of offense, I believe, probably my junior year. Or all of the 4 years, I'll probably be good for the draft. But unfortunately, my freshman year, and then just ran into the back issue. And after that, I got a surgery. And then from surgery, recovered that. And then I fractured my sinus also.
Yeah.
My head. Yeah, so
And it didn't help. It didn't help that the coaching changes were happening. Lute was going to retire, and then Kevin O'Neill came in. And how did?
Come on, Steve! Don't do that to me.
No. It's a simple question. No. I won't put pressure. No. Just how was that transition? It was no fun for everybody, for anybody.
It was suck. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, like that time, I did hate Kevin O'Neill. I did, because when I came back from injury and things started working, and I was probably going to get some good minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, because in practice, I was with the starters. So from that, and then I started getting confidence. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly, Lou went out with the illness, and then K.O. took over, and then pretty much kind of like treated me like, I don't know.
Things changed.
Things changed, and he just kind of completely left me out of there, and then it really hurt me bad. It did. Actually, even still today, K.O. is, I hate to do this, but he's one of the person I can't forgive. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. I hate to say that, but this is just me being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I respect him as a coach, but you know, I just kind of like, you know, I came to this country for, you know, school was good. I want to get my degree, but I want to play professional on high level.
Mm-hmm.
So this was my last year. I thought I'm get a chance to do something, at least get some minutes, and I was on the right track. And, you know, unfortunately, Coach got sick and K.O. took over and changed everything. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I move on with my life and then go on playing professional.
Do you probably don't regret leaving, though, because you went to Hawaii and you played some there, right?
No. And I think it was good for me mentally, honestly, because I went through to so much trauma with the injury. And then,
the change.
So with the change. So if I would stand there, it'd probably be bad for me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I left. I went to Hawaii. It was a beautiful experience. Like, I got to enjoy Hawaii for like 8 months, I think. It was incredible. I had a good time. And then play some minutes, get some tape, and, you know, trying to play a little bit overseas. So
right.
It was a good experience.
So at what point did you get healthy again? Because you're talking like 21, 22 years old.
And so, you know, I had to find a way with the willing to take care of myself. I think like when I left UV, I just, it's those things like when you're at the UV, all of the training, all of the challenge you're going through to the coaches and trainer, you know, you don't get to see. Like, you take it for granted, but when you left and go on your own, now you have to be disciplined, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of that just helped me, set me up to, so if I get up and be on my own, trying to take care of my own health. So I did work super hard, trying to stay healthy, trying to take care of my back, so I can go on and play a little bit after this back surgery. Probably a lot of people think I could not jump or play. So I went in, just play a little bit, help my national team, spend time traveling overseas. And it was a good experience. It was good.
Do you, I know you had the foreign teams come here every now and again, or last 3 or 4 years before last year, right? You plan on doing that again?
Yeah, actually I'm working on it, but I don't think if it will be in Tucson. So I'm working on that. I've been really involved with a lot of stuff overseas right now. So I'm trying to work on my overseas connection, maybe end up become scout or whatever I can provide for the pros or colleges in the future. But I'm hoping next year, trying to get a couple of team here, to see what we can do with them. And then, you know, I'm working on that. Just find a couple of people here who wanna, because there's a lot of logistics involved with it. That's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
One team, two team, bring it in Tucson was a lot of work. So I gotta find better partner who's willing to take on the challenge and then be able to
right
help with all the logistics and the right way, and then make sure that we do it for the kids, not for the, you know, to help the kids, and then also provide everybody want to see talent. Everybody wants talent. So if they're out there, we want to bring them here a short period of time so they can see what we have here, and then, you know, I want to keep doing that.
Let me ask you, so you were here at an okay time. There were some good days and bad days, obviously, at the end of Lute's career. Who was the best player you saw here?
The best player? Man, I got to say Salim, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to say Salim.
Were you a freshman? Were you a freshman when he was?
Yeah. But you know he was a pure shooter. Like, he was tough guys to guard and shooting, and so he Salim was one of my top. And you know, I mean, Chenny inside out, so, but Salim I kind of give to Salim. My son also can jump. My son had the high.
Oh yes, because you
athletic ability.
Now you talk about it, because I didn't realize you were a freshman when you guys lost to Illinois in the Elite Eight. Sorry to depress you.
I was. You know, when I thought about that now, it's just like, oh my God, we blow the chance. Yeah. Like that game, I can't. Like at that time, like freshman year, you don't see it.
Right.
And then now, like you were like, oh my God, that was our chance to be, and. You know, to be national champion. Because when you look at it, if you would have won that game, I think we would go all the way to the end.
Yeah, you guys had been playing very good ball up until then.
Yeah, it was a tough. Like when you look at it, you know, I think we had a lead by 17 points or how much?
15. Yeah.
Yeah, and then suddenly, you know, everything is just turning left, and it was. Yeah, it was depressing.
Right. No question. I was there. It was like everyone was trying to get their reservations to get to the Final Four just a few days later.
Yeah.
And the problem was, so were you guys.
Yeah. And then suddenly, like, oh, my God. And then we went to the locker room and started crying.
Yeah. No, I remember it well. It was very, very sad. Very sad. I still remember Luke coming out of the locker room, just very unbelievable.
Yeah. He's a big time.
Yeah. We got to have you next time you're down here. You got to come in studio and spend some time with me.
For sure. I will. No problem. I know I'm going to get my schedule. I work now. You know, you're trying to do too many things in one. So I got to. That's why I'm super tired.
Do it now.
Basketball. Yeah.
Do it now, because when you get older, you don't want to do it.
Yeah. So just trying to get all of the things figured out somehow. But while. You know, trying to stand about in the game somehow.
To
mentoring kids. So
okay, let me tell you, we're gonna keep an eye on AD. You'll let me know on Facebook how he's doing, and we'll see what happens. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna keep you guys updated. You know, he's ranked number top three in the country and state already.
In the at center spot or what or overall?
The 2022.
Yes.
Yeah, I think on the center spot probably.
Okay.
But I feel like he should be number one because he's a
beast.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a skinny beast,
apparently.
Yeah, he's a skinny beast.
Yeah, Mohammed, thank you for calling in. We're good to talk to you. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Mohammed Tangara here on 1030 The Voice. We're going to take a quick break and come back for the final 8 to 10 minutes. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Good to talk to Mohammed Tangara. Do you remember him, Mr. Tom?
No, I don't. I remember all of the fiasco that happened when KO came to town.
Yes, that was a weird year.
I think Muhammad might have been a little bit in the background with all that stuff that was going on.
No question. He was, KO was a tough guy to take, and wasn't for everybody. And he was the stopgap, or at least the go-between, Lute, and then KO, and then Pennell and them, and it was kind of like that transition period. It was what it was. It was a tough year, no question. Tough year covering that year, tough year writing about that year, And I can understand what Muhammad is talking about. But a good guy, one of the great guys, still comes down from time to time. So, guess what the score is with the Nationals and the Houston Astros?
It hasn't changed.
1-0 still, huh? Top of five, bottom five?
Bottom of the fifth.
Bottom of fifth.
Astros up to bat. And they have had six hits so far in the game.
The Astros.
And the one that was the one run was a solo homer. But the Nationals haven't only, they've only managed one hit.
Yeah, it's Greinke, right?
Greinke's pitching for the Astros. Scherzer, I don't know if he's struggling or maybe he has a little bit of rust, but he looked good. Some of his pitches looked good.
Let me ask you this, because I thought about this today when people talk about that. Do you believe in rust?
I believe that you can get a little off your game if you haven't kept at it.
Okay.
You know, your muscle memory, your joints
need
to be loosened up again, and your mind needs to connect better with your throwing motion and stuff. And
So you've been doing this all your life.
Sure.
And you're at the top level. you think this is possible?
Well, he's had to deal with his back problem, too, and we don't know if
that may be true.
Is absolutely not giving him any trouble. He's been throwing 96, 97 mile an hour fastballs today, but then there's been a couple of pitches that look like they kind of got away. He's trying to throw a curve or a slider, and it didn't break properly. So I don't know.
Let me also ask you, I can't remember if you or is it my boy Bob Dio, about momentum?
I'm a momentum guy. You're a lucky guy.
So did Houston have the momentum when it won three straight against Washington?
Can you say the same thing about when Washington won all of their games in Houston?
That's my point. I don't believe in momentum.
Yeah, but we could be seeing history here if the Nationals win.
We don't want to see history.
We've already seen history in the fact that in six games in a playoff series, all of the games have been won by the visiting team. This is the first time that's happened.
Why do you want to see history?
Well, come on. Don't you want to be able to say,
I don't want to
20
say.
Years from now, oh, yeah, I was there. I saw that. I experienced that.
I was
that.
Here locked in a room with you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, poor Steve.
Poor Steve. I didn't watch a lick of the game. I was on the show. Oh,
well,
no.
You know,
I get your point.
It's only the bottom of the fifth.
I'm racing to go watch it after this.
You got four innings, maybe four and a half innings here to go yet.
Yeah, and give or take another bad call that will take 5 hours to review.
Oh, boy.
We'll see. I know this game is going very quickly. It's like now I just probably, you know how you call a no-hitter and all of a sudden things happen?
Yeah.
Like I just did that.
Yeah, you.
I shouldn't do that.
You break the luck or the karma or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I've been broken worse. Hey, are you ready to go to basketball season starts here pretty soon, Friday night?
Friday, Chico State.
I didn't realize it starts at 6:30.
Yeah, and it's not going to be on Pac-12 or any of the major networks, but I guess you can go to the university site and live stream it somehow. I'm not sure.
I guess. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there a little late. I didn't realize it started at 6:30, though.
Oh, you won't have to live stream it.
No. Well, I'm going to be there for the second half, not the first half, because it starts at 6:30. What time does the next game, Wednesday's game, start? Do you have it up there?
I did have it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm not sure. I'm debating Saturday's game with Oregon State and Arizona. I don't believe I'm excited enough to go, and we'll see. Maybe I will. I know Javier's going to go and Anthony's going to go. So, what time is it? 7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
Yeah, that's what I thought would be. 7 o'clock. Chico State at 6:30, though. So we'll see.
It's almost like Chico State is more of an exhibition. Well, it is an exhibition game, Dom.
So let's say we're almost done with today's show. Tomorrow I'm going to have Richard Ng. I don't know if he's been on the show when you've been from the horses.
Yeah.
It's a big, big weekend with the Breeders' Cup this weekend.
And there's been some news about the Santa Anita
racetrack.
The horse deaths that they've had there, that stuff's coming out of that as far as how they're wanting to conduct their drug policies
and
stuff.
36 of them had died. It's a great track, obviously, but a lot of things are weird. Things are happening. So that the Breeders is Friday and Saturday. It's one of my favorite days. Saturday is, it is, at least, and we're going to have Richard Ng on tomorrow. And we'll probably have the Roadrunners on tomorrow as they're on a five-game winning streak.
Yeah.
They're riding. Yeah, I think it's because of my boy Tony Bathey's IRA Resources Coaches Show or Roadrunner Show. So a little karma there. Good karma going on.
Absolutely. And we might send kudos to the women's golf team.
What's going on with them?
They took place, they took part in a college tournament, not a major tournament, but the East Lake Golf Tournament in Atlanta. They were one of the four last teams in the tournament, Auburn, Duke, and Wake Forest. And they were leading Wake Forest in the in their round with them. But Wake Forest was able to pull it out.
Yeah. No question. And guess what? Houston just went up 2-0. Yeah.
They may break the cycle.
They might break the cycle, but who knows? Because yesterday it was, 2-2 for a long time?
Yeah.
And Washington finally came through and scored all those runs after that controversial call. We'll see. I'm going to race back and try to get and watch two or three innings, I hope.
We'll have to get you out of here then.
See you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mohammed, for
tomorrow, and Richard Ng and horses.
Yes.